Our only condition.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the French Connection. Today's date is the 18th day of November, 2008, of course. My name is Darryl Bradford Smith. I have to make a comment here about the running over of the programming, 13 minutes. I find that terribly disrespectful of the prior host, and I find it unacceptable, John, that you would do that to me, as though I have no importance here and I have nothing important to say, and not even bother apologizing for it. I find it to be rude and unacceptable to me, and I expect next week that you will end your programming on the hour so that I can begin mine, because that is an important part of the contacts that I've made and an important part of the things that I need to do on this broadcast. And I will not accept it, you doing that to me any longer. It is the third time in so many weeks, and that's what I have to tell you now on air. Any of the people who've been waiting for the French Connection to come on air at 9 o'clock and my guest, I apologize to you for having to wait. Anyway, let's get right into the work here that we have to do. Today I have invited on board here somebody that I have worked with for some time. He is a truth teller. He was an Air Force officer and in the intelligence area of the Air Force in the United States, and someone who came upon the information, the truthful information about what we faced in the country. More importantly, he understood that the things that were happening to the nation were by design by a criminal group. What he discovered was that criminal group was organized around a segment of a religion or a sect within a religion. That sect happened to be a Zionist Judaism. And he also understood that not all Jews were participating, but many of them were giving blind allegiance to the crimes being committed by this group. He also understood many parts of the financial crimes that were happening. And what he did was he began to tell others about it, and he did it in a context of a Christian minister. Now, one of the things that people know on CII is that I want to bring people from every walk of life into this fight with me. I want to bring Christians and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and Sikhs and anybody out there who has an interest in freedom, has an interest in the truth, has an interest in raising their families in an environment free of tyranny, together, and have different views from different camps on how we can best serve those goals. And in order to serve those goals, what I have done here tonight is bring this friend of mine who I've interviewed before. His name is Tex Mars. He is an author and a very kind man. I know his wife. I know him very well. And we've worked together for a very long time, and I have nothing but admiration for his efforts. I'd like to bring him up right now. Tex, are you with me? Well, it looks like we've got a delay on Tex. Anyway, the way this has turned out, ladies and gentlemen, is that Tex Mars is going to be delayed just a second here because the engineer has been busy with the last program. So we have a little delay here again. On Friday, I want to let you know that I have a world-famous trends analyst, one of the most famous analysts of trend management in the world, has been quoted in hundreds and hundreds of newspapers and journals for his predictions on things in the world. And what he is going to bring for us on the Friday program is important information, very important information about what we face with this implosion financially, as well as the deterioration of our social structure. We have terrible things in our future socially. And it's important that we all understand that these things have been long in coming. And unless and until we can understand exactly what is in the future, what the future holds for us, it's going to be impossible to bring people together to fight with us. Tex Mars, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Darryl. How are you?
Very well, Tex. Sorry for the delay. We had some problems with our previous programming. It ended late. So I got you up. I was just praising watching your work over the years and the things that you've been able to do on behalf of the truth for so long. And tonight you're with an audience of over a million here in the African continent. Many people from Islam who you have told me personally that you know are not behind 9/11 and many of the other things they've been blamed for. And that many of these people are very traditional, humble people that have been vilified by this criminal gang we've been fighting, Tex. And so what we're going to do is have a chance here to bring good tidings from America to a community who has been terribly slandered. And maybe give you an opportunity now to maybe say hello to the listening audience.
Well, Darryl, thank you very much, and glad to be with this audience. And it's wonderful to be able to speak the truth and not have to worry about filters and censors. And I will tell the audience that I've been very pleased to be your guest several times, Darryl. And never have you limited anything I said. In fact, if I can remember, you've always made it a point that you wanted me to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because there's so many people who are frightened or are scared. And here's the truth. And I'm afraid I have a very, not a very pleasant message to give the Muslims. Here's the good news. The good news is that there is definitely a large group of Americans who very much want peace, who want to continue the spread of truth, who know very well that Islam is not the center of the world's problems, certainly that 9/11 was not carried out by 19 Muslims, who know that Iran and Iraq, Syria, and many other Islamic nations are not troublemakers, are not warmongers, but want very much want peace.
Yeah.
But what I want the Muslims to know that they're this listening audience, and I'm glad there are that many listening, is. The here is the real truth about it. I am a minority. I am not in the majority. The majority of Americans are under the hypnotic control of Jews. This is a Jewish nation. Okay?
Right.
We have almost 300 million people in the United States.
Yeah.
But most of the people are controlled by the news media, by Hollywood, by our movies, by our radio, and our television networks, and certainly by in Washington, D.C., the political establishment, our banking establishment, our corporate world. Everything is owned by Jews, controlled by Jews. And consequently, I want to tell people, and Darryl, this may be a shock to your listeners, but I want to tell them that most Americans hate Muslims, despise Muslims. Most Americans want Muslims dead, want them to go to hell, and will be happy when that occurs. Now, I say that because I am one of the perhaps 30 million Americans who do not want that.
That's
but
right.
I am a Christian. But most of the people who say they are Christians are not Christians. In fact,
no.
They are Zionists. They are Zionists,
right.
Who pretend to be Christians. They want all Muslims dead. I want to say that again. They don't want Muslims to go to paradise or heaven. They believe the Jews are a superior race on earth and that Muslims all need to die and go away. Now,
Tex, let me ask you this.
Yes.
See, you and I both know the depth of the brainwashing that Americans have been under because we have seen it firsthand in our lives. You cannot go to the United States today and not see the Islamic community vilified roundly in almost every broadcast of news, in almost every the movie that comes on. All of the programming for television is like this 24 show where it's the Islamic terrorists, or if there's going to be some kind of sick programming on TV, they're always blaming Islam. They've done a very thorough job of hatred here. Now, isn't it interesting,
oh, yes,
if you point out the hatred they spewed about Islam, you are roundly ignored. But if you make one veiled reference to the Jewish hatred of everyone around them, you are instantly vilified as an anti-Semite. And so everybody's afraid to even speak up if they know the truth, because they're afraid to be labeled an anti-Semite. Me, I just don't want to go into my grave with the idea that I was a hypocrite and a liar. I can't accept that for myself, and I won't accept it from my nation. And you know something, Tex? People like us who are working every day to make sure new people can learn these facts, we're taking enormous risks on behalf of the world, and yet we still don't get the traction we deserve. What is it we can do in this environment except for telling one person at a time? I think we are making a difference, by the way.
Well, here's the thing as I see it, Darrell. And by the way, you know, if you don't agree with me, I know you're a friend. You know my heart, and that's what's important. And I know your heart. Last evening, I had a wonderful couple over to our house. My
mm-hmm.
wife Wanda and I did. She's a Christian lady. Her husband is a doctor, a physician. Last year, she went and visited some Muslim countries. She particularly went to Egypt, I believe. She came back and she said, you know, I loved those people.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the Egyptians. And they were so kind and there were so many good people there. She said, you know, we have been lied to.
Yep.
About the Muslim people, about the Egyptians, about others.
Yep.
She said, I have, my heart reaches out. And she actually asked me, what can I do to reach out to Muslims and to those people? Now see, this I believe is a true Christian. And by the way, she didn't even really know what I believed about these issues.
Yep.
But
she was courageous enough to even test her truth, regardless of what your reaction would be, because that's somebody of conviction and courage is what it is.
Oh yes. Well, she and her husband, she said, you know, she's told several people that they look at her like she's crazy, because most Americans, and this is a sad thing, but here is where I want Muslims to understand something. There are a great number of Americans like you and I, Darrell,
yep,
who do know the truth. But, and we're working very, very hard. Now, what Muslims need to do is don't become frustrated and don't, you know, here's the whole thing. When you do strive for peace, for example, let me give you an example. I believe from everything I've read, and I've read the letters that he wrote to our President George Bush, from everything I have seen, and his life, President Ahmadinejad of Iran is a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, I'm not saying he's a perfect man, and I'm not saying he's done everything right, but I believe, as compared to, let's say, Israel's former Prime Minister Netanyahu, or Shimon Peres of Israel,
or President George Bush.
Yeah, or even the Barack Obama. What we're talking about here is a man who wants peace. And he's come to the United Nations, and everything out of his mouth, he's had the courage to go before Jewish billionaires in America at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, members of the Zionist Council on Foreign Relations, and say, we, the Muslim people of Iran, want to have world peace. He wrote George Bush, and he said, I know you're a Christian, I'm a Muslim, but we do, you know, from Ahmadinejad's standpoint, we worship God, doesn't that give us something common? Shouldn't we both work for world peace and peace between our two nations? Guess what George Bush did? He refused to even answer it.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm not even going to answer it.
Well, is George Bush in fact a Christian? And you pointed out earlier, no, he's not. He follows edicts and doctrines that are absolutely antithetical to the Christian faith.
That's right. Now, if a Muslim man does something wrong, does something evil, and they do sometimes, let's face it, just like people who claim to be Christian can do some terrible things, and they're not really Christian. Muslims do these things, but let me tell the people there so they'll understand this. Whenever a Muslim commits a murder or does something wrong, and he does it in the name of Allah, he will get maximum press coverage in America for that.
Yeah.
When a Jewish person does something wrong, a Jew, it's almost never mentioned.
That's right.
And so, therefore, to me, you know, it's sort of like I used to be a member of the U.S. Air Force. I was in the Air Force for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was told because you're in uniform, I know you're a serviceman too, because you're in uniform, you're an ambassador. You represent all the U.S. military, so behave yourself and use good conduct. I would appeal to Muslims, since whatever you do that's wrong will be used against you, and they will say, see, all Muslims are like that, then by all means, always have good conduct. It's interesting that no matter how peaceful the president of Iran, Mr. Ahmadinejad, is, he is still called Hitler.
Yeah.
By the Jews and by the Zionist Christians and by George W. Bush. So he cannot do anything to get away from the lies that have been stated about him.
Well, you know, one of the big things that has happened, and I have to credit you for this as well, and we talked about this because it was an important shift. You know, many of the people in the truth movement, and I use that word rather lightly because there's a lot of deception within this truth movement, but there are some people who have put out a great load of facts, and you know who I'm referring to. You are able to speak your truth because people are feeling more comfortable with more of the facts as time has gone on. You were able to actually share a more truth than you had in the past, because what we're finding out is in this late period, it's getting late, Tex, we're in the last throes of our country, people are becoming emboldened to tell the truth, and you are able in a forum that generally wouldn't go as far as you did, we were allowed to go that far, and that meant, this was important, that meant that so many thousands of more people were introduced for the first time to the facts. And you were able
That's
to
right.
introduce those facts as a result of that particular interview that I'm discussing with you now, and that was a big win for us.
Well, I appreciate that, Darryl, but, you know, here again, you have a website. It has a lot of truth on it.
Yeah.
And I will say this, before the Internet, we really had a real difficulty getting the facts out, the truth out.
Yeah.
We do have the Internet now. Now, you know, one of the things that I would like to, if you don't mind, and by the way, you know, anything, any place you want to take the program, it's your program, Darryl, but I want to tell people something that they need to be very careful about.
Yeah.
We now have a new president of America, of the United States, Barack Obama.
Okay.
January 20th, he will take office. This man, believe me, is an enemy of Islam.
Yeah.
He is a great, great enemy of Islam. Now, they have created a myth about him because, you know, for a while he went to a school, an Islamic school in Indonesia. His father evidently came from Africa and was a Muslim. But keep this in mind. It's probably for those very reasons that Obama is a hater of Islam. Yes, I want to say that again. I believe he is a hater of Islam.
Yeah.
And he has brought around him, already he is gathering around him, Zionist enemies of Islam.
Well, and Zionist enemies of the world.
That's right. And Obama is determined to make war on Islam around the world.
I agree with that 100%. And in fact, I think he is far more dangerous than George Bush, because I think he is more articulate and he's more able to couch his arguments in this rhetoric that is much more effective. And I think everybody has going on go in their head. There's anything is better than George Bush going on in their minds, and he's going to do some things in the very near future that are going to be devastating for the world, and especially for the Islamic community.
Yes, let's look at this, okay? First of all, from a psychological viewpoint, okay? I believe he is a sociopath.
Yep.
And that means he has no conscience. He will say and do anything to gain power. Now, Barack Obama, I'm going to speculate here, but I believe it's going to be very close to the truth. If you had a mother, okay, a white mother, and she had sex and relations and maybe did not even get married to a black man from Africa, and then that man abandoned you at the age of 2 and went back to Africa where he had multiple wives in Kenya, would you love your father or would you hate him? I propose.
Well, the abandonment issue would certainly cause for. If your father, this is one of the problems with the black community in general, is that the society in the United States has driven black men out of homes, ruined the family, and what ends up happening is young men that are growing up in these black community homes do hate their fathers and do have a very strange relationship with their masculinity as a result of having no father figure. And you're exactly right that there is probably some pathology of Barack Obama as a result of being abandoned by a father who should have been there to raise him as is his responsibility but wasn't. And I think you're probably not wrong, Tex.
That's right. And his mother was very much a Marxist New Age hippie. All right, who believed in socialist revolution, and to show her revolutionary rebellious attitude, that's why she went to Indonesia, married in Indonesia. I'm not saying any of these are wrong. I'm just saying that this is the kind of thing that stirs up in a young man like Obama certain kinds of feelings. Now, we know from his past that he very much is a Marxist socialist.
Let's go into where Marxism comes from. I mean, this is an important part of
yes.
Because, you know, the government in South Africa, in the audience that's predominant in this broadcast, they have turned over their social structure to a socialist, communist approach in many ways. And what we know about socialism and communism is that is a Jewish inspired, Jewish designed, Jewish invented way of raping and destroying individual freedom and liberty around the globe. And so basically, this man is just a puppet for people who want to steal people's freedom.
Oh, absolutely. And he look how he has acted. Now, you're right about the his being a socialist Marxist. He read the book by Saul Alinsky, A Jew, Rules for Radicals. He went to universities that